Hey, Bob WP here, and welcome to Woo Product Chat. Hey, do the Woo Podcast Show. Woo! Woo! This episode is brought to you by Kinsta, offering a high-performance hosting platform with managed WordPress hosting powered by Google Cloud, ensuring fast load times and robust security. I'll tell you more about Kinsta later in the episode, but for now, let's dive right in. Well, it's that time of the year. We start a bit on reflecting on things, wrapping up the year and also looking to the new year. And I thought with some of the shows, it'd be fun to come in and talk to the hosts a little bit about what they have been up to and touch on some of the topics they've talked about with guests over the last year. And I thought this would be great. And Katie and Marcus actually allowed me to enter their domain. So that was good as well. How you doing, Katie?
Yeah, great. Thanks. Good to be back.
And Marcus?
Doing great. Thanks. Bob, this is all your land. We're just squatting on it.
Well, before we get into the stuff around some of the topics of the show you've talked about, why don't you just let everyone know a little bit about what you've been doing, business and your work, side gigs you have. Maybe we'll start with Katie. You know, what's been going on at Barn 2 that you can share with us, or what were the highlights of the year?
So this year has been a year to focus on perfecting our existing plugins. So we started the year with 24, I think, premium plugins, most of which were WooCommerce. And it was just too much. And as with anything, the 80-20 rule applies, and a smaller number of plugins were making most of the sales. So we thought we need to rationalize this a bit and focus on what we know works. So we've spent the year implementing that philosophy, really. First of all, we sold 5 of our plugins plus 2 free ones, so 7 in total, to Kestrel, who have recently set up as a WooCommerce kind of marketplace in a way. They've got a lot of products already, so they were looking to acquire lots of WooCommerce plugins and were interested in the plugins, which for me weren't worth putting that investment in. So I think that worked out well for everybody because they can put in investment in those that I didn't want to. So that freed Barn 2 up more to focus on the plugins that are selling the best for us. For example, our WooCommerce product options plugin is about 2 years old now, and we've put a lot of resources into that this year. We've added tons of new features. And in fact, yesterday it was very exciting because we launched a new add-on for it, which is called WooCommerce Live Preview. And so imagine you've got a t-shirt product and somebody, you could already upload a file to the t-shirt, but you couldn't preview what that would look like on the t-shirt. And we had so many feature requests for that for a year or more than any other feature request, and we track everything. So we've spent the last 6 months building this live preview add-on, which we know people want. We've actually already had several sales and it's just been a day, so that's really good. And we know it's not complete because we also know that people want text previews and they want a kind of a layered thing where you can select multiple options and it will kind of change the image each time you select something, like changing the color of a guitar or something as you click a different color. So we've got a lot more work to do on that, but that's a big thing for us at the moment.
Cool. And Marcus, any highlights at GoDaddy? And also, you've been busy with the side gig too, I know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you kind of touched on it. I had a big shift actually recently this year. So the better part of the year, you know, through October, I was at GoDaddy doing field marketing and events there, getting a chance to head out into the community with people and meet up at WordCamps and all of that, heading up kind of our sponsorship stuff for WordCamps through GoDaddy. But as of November, which is this month that we're recording in now, now part of the Bluehost gang. So that was the major point in the year for me. I've shifted kind of out of field events. I'll still be at some events, some of the larger WordCamps and that kind of thing. But yeah, I'm helping out with Bluehost's agency experience, specifically with Bluehost Cloud. the Bluehost Cloud hosting offering, and we're just getting started there on making that hosting product and the experience for agencies everything that it can be at Bluehost. So that was the major shift in the year for me. Obviously, there's also the WP World that I've worked on this year. Lots and lots of updates throughout the year. Took the last couple of months or so off just to have a little bit of a break, but also that was kind of the transition period from GoDaddy to Bluehost. So I wanted to make sure that I could devote time to onboarding and getting started with the Bluehost team. But just started picking back up on WP World updates there as well. And that will continue on, you know, my involvement in the community, while I'll be at slightly fewer events than I was before, my involvement in the community will be no less. I will still be 100% diving in on all the different social platforms and Slack channels and all of that, and still a big part of the community, and the community is still a big part of who I am and what I, you know, do with WordPress. And so the WP World continues on and is getting some more attention starting now and certainly through into 2025. I've got lots of big plans for it.
Yeah, I'm amazed with both of you. Work, business, side gigs, all that stuff, and you still eke a little bit of time to come here. So that's always appreciated from my point of view. What I thought we would do, and I was trying to think of something aside from just digging into different shows that you've done or different episodes, was to pick four of the topics from four of your episodes and have you just give a little insight to what you have seen throughout the year on that and maybe what you hope to see in 2025. And these are very generic topics, so you're open to zero in on whatever's important to you. One of the shows we had was about using demos to increase sales. And I know that Katie has had maybe more hands-on experience with that, but also you can see the bigger picture, Marcus, and chime in on that. So why don't we start with Katie? What have you learned this year from that, and what do you hope to see in the next year?
Well, this has been the year that we implemented admin demos for the vast majority of our plugins. So it was really great to do that show with Vikas Singhal from InstaWP, because he could give really hands-on tips about how to make the most of that. And that came along at the perfect time for me, because I was just in the middle of doing that. So since that show, I've gone ahead and implemented more admin demos for our plugins and thought a lot about how to make them convert. Because it's not just about the admin demo, it's about how to use that as an opportunity to close the sale. And that comes from the experience of the admin demo. And I know we'll get onto onboarding in a minute, but with an admin demo onboarding, what happens when the customer lands on it? What page do they start on? What will drop them into an existing site with the plugin set up that will help them understand it and see the opportunities for them as quickly as possible? What's the quickest way for them to buy once they've decided they're happy? So we did things like adding banners to the top of the front and back end of our admin demos. And then there's the whole email side of things. So we've integrated our InstaWP demos with our MailChimp so that people get added to a sequence of maybe six emails or something like that, which shows them how to use it. And then when the admin demo expires, it sends more emails if they haven't bought yet, explaining why the plugin's so great, offering to help them out, giving them explanatory videos and eventually a discount as well. So thinking step by step how to close the sale at each stage of the decision-making process.
Well, demos change in the next year. I mean, will there be some other direction, or will there be a different way of presenting demos or different places to actually have your demos? Any thoughts on any of that, or do you kind of see it just hopefully increasing in more businesses adapting those?
Yeah, I think it depends on the product. And unfortunately, I've been reflecting on this after setting up most of my admin demos, that some of the products, maybe an admin demo isn't the best option. For example, one of my more niche plugins, WooCommerce Multiple Email Recipients, is really not very visual. It adds extra email fields to the account and checkout page, and it also lets you add more recipients to the admin emails. So that's all very much back end, except for a few fields on the front, and really a few screenshots are enough to show how that works. So we need to think more creatively for each product. What is the best way? And an admin demo is just one way. And another thing we've recently started doing is A/B testing. And our first A/B test is whether or not it's good to have an explanatory video near the top of our plugin sales pages. And if we discover that that is a good thing, that has implications for the admin demo, because maybe for some products, people don't need to actually do an admin demo themselves, especially if there aren't many settings in a particular plugin. Maybe just a video walkthrough is enough.
Marcus, do you have any thoughts? I mean, especially with your hosting backgrounds of demos, you know, what have you seen? What do you hope to see? Do you think your pivot into agencies, has that kind of shifted a bit for you?
Yeah, definitely. I actually really love all the things that Katie has done with Barn 2 and their product demos. But like thinking about it from a different lens, like from the agency standpoint, one of the things that I think agencies have to do is sometimes persuade their clients that WordPress is the tool for them. And I think in that case, things like InstaWP and the Playground offer agencies the ability to demo WordPress itself, WordPress and WooCommerce, even against maybe Shopify or something, being able to give agencies the power to show clients, hey, we can set up this WordPress WooCommerce site for you. Here's what you'll be able to do. Here's how you'll be able to administer it versus like a Squarespace or a Shopify site. And so having those tools like InstaWP and Playground and Studio to kind of show, here's the WordPress experience, here's the WooCommerce experience, I think is very valuable in being able to sell clients on the fact that here's this platform that you're going to be able to use. Here's how you'll be able to administer it. Here are the limitations, right? I mean, that's really where the difference is between the proprietary platforms and the open source CMS that is WordPress is, the limitations are different. In WordPress, mostly there's a plugin for that, or developers can hook into all sorts of things to extend the feature functionality. And I think even in just stepping as far out as the platform itself, giving agencies the ability to share with clients, here's a demo of the platform that we're going to use. Here's why we're going to use it. Here's how you're going to be able to do what you want to do with it, I think is super valuable. And I love those tools for that reason, even.
Yeah, and I'm not going to give you any rest, Marcus, because I'm going to have you start on this other one, because it leads right into it, and Katie already brought it up or touched on it, onboarding. So This is the whole thing, you know, it plays a part in onboarding, obviously. Is there anything you want to add around onboarding and what you hope to do with it moving into 2025?
Yeah. With any of the platforms or plugins, onboarding is a critical part of getting people where they need to be, you know, quickly. I think one of the pieces of onboarding that maybe is missed sometimes, I think we can all do a little bit better at, is like the educational process of how to use the plugin long term. What onboarding typically does is take you from nothing to something pretty quickly, but it doesn't necessarily teach the person who's using the product how to then continue from there. Okay, you got me to something usable, but now what do I do with it? And I think that there are opportunities along the onboarding process to say, here's what we're doing for you in this onboarding process. Here's where you'll need to look if you want to make changes to this particular part later. And adding some of the educational pieces along the way inside of onboarding, I think would be super helpful.
It was really good talking to Laura Elizabeth about onboarding. If you don't know who she is, the person which the official WordPress Twitter account recently said, who are you? So she is now very famous since she was on Do the Woo for being unknown. But she's done a great job of embracing that, and she's even put it on her about page. So, yeah. kudos to Laura anyway. But we had a really great conversation about onboarding, and it was interesting contrasting onboarding for services versus software products. So with the services side of things, it's about like your clients and how to get them used to your services so they understand your processes and where to get help. And she talked a bit about how her client portal plugin can help with that. And the product side of things is what I've got more experience of, which is things like onboarding wizards and email flows and thinking about each step of the customer's journey to understand and learn your product so that they can have success with it. And I'm sure you've all installed a WordPress plugin, click activate, and nothing happens. And you think, well, what should I do now? And you might, if you know WordPress quite well, you might know a few places to look for the settings page, but it's really often not obvious what to do when you hit activate. So I think that's a classic example of why good onboarding for WordPress software products is essential.
Yeah. Now, pricing services, pricing products. It seems like this is a never-ending circle for a lot of businesses trying to figure this out. And I don't know if you came to any really good, solid conclusions or if it's a matter of always testing things. Just your general thoughts around pricing services and products.
Well, it is an ongoing journey to continue optimizing your prices for more profitability. So I get really bored going through data endlessly. So I outsource this to Ellipsis, who we use for a lot of our marketing. And they are amazing at data and they know my numbers so much better than I do. So every 6 months, they do a massive analysis of our sales and conversion rates and how those things have changed when we've changed the prices of our plugins in the past. And then they make really specific recommendations on price changes that I should test. So then I implement what they say and they test again next time and say, was it a success? Should we reverse the decision? Should we try something different? So it's an ongoing iterative process and that will never be finished because, well, markets change. Say a plugin, you maybe never had any competition initially, so you could get away with a high price. If that market becomes more competitive, you need to keep analyzing that price in the current market and think, should you maybe reduce the price or something like that? Maybe you've added value to a product and you can get away with a higher price. And it's not always what you expect. So a really funny example, and not for my customers, but anyway, is my Easy Digital Downloads EU VAT plugin, which we built because we needed it on our site, which runs EDD. But it's always been a real pain. It's had quite low sales, but WordPress plugin companies love it. But apart from that, it's been one of our worst selling plugins always. And it's also quite expensive for us to support and maintain because when people have tax problems, they're often very complex to troubleshoot. So it just wasn't that profitable. And we thought, what should we do with it? Shall we sell it? Well, I'm not sure who wants to buy it. I'd quite like to sell it to Automotive, but they haven't bitten yet. But apart from that, nobody would particularly want it. And we could have just discontinued it, but then I wouldn't want to let down our customers, many of whom are plugin companies that I know the owners of. So what we did was we increased the price, first of all, by like double. So it went from $100 to $200 and the sales shot up, not just the revenue, but the actual number of sales increased and we didn't understand why. So we increased the price to $250 and it continued going up. And we, of course, grandfathered in existing subscribers. We would never increase the price to them. But for new customers, we managed to make the plugin significantly more profitable and increase sales by radically increasing the price. But you can't just do that on all your products. And I have done this analysis on my others thinking, oh, I could do this for all my WooCommerce extensions. But you can't if there's a lot of competition. And the unusual thing about our EDD VAT plugin is that there's very little competition and people see ours as the undisputed leader. So they will pay what they need to.
That's interesting because I'm in the process of redoing our sponsorship model and the pricing. And again, it's really no different than other product and services trying to figure out that sweet spot And I've done it several times over the last 10 years or however long I've been doing sponsorships. If you are looking for hosting via cloud servers for your client sites, consider checking out Kinsta. With their container technology, you are assured of no shared resources. Plus, you get global CDN, edge caching, and Cloudflare Enterprise for all your sites. It doesn't stop there, though. Auto backup, staging, plug-in vulnerability alerts, and uptime monitoring comes with 24/7 support that you can expect from humans. Add to this, for agencies, look into their partner programs with some nice extras, plus an account manager and custom plans to meet the needs of your client's sites. All this and more, just head over to kinsta.com. Marcus, any general thoughts? And also, will you be getting into working around that or understanding even more pricing services with agencies?
Yeah, I mean, it'll definitely come up a little bit as I dive into more of the agency stuff. Obviously, we'll have conversations with agencies on their budgets for hosting, their budgets, what they charge for websites and all of that kind of stuff. I think one of the thoughts that I had, and I was actually curious to then pick Katie's brain about it, is there like a trust factor in setting a price as well? Like if you price it too low, do you feel like customers feel this is probably just some cheap solution that somebody threw together and they're hoping to make a few bucks, where if you take the exact same product and double the price, then now there's like this feeling of trust and solidarity to the plugin that you've changed none of the code, none of the product, but there's just this like inherent trust level in the pricing scheme. You know, I'll ask the same to some of the agencies too. And of course, I worked at an agency for over a decade, so I know this to be the case as well. If, you know, are going to make a website for $500 and charge $5,000 for the exact same website, there's an inherent level of quality perception that comes along with that, where, you know, you get what you pay for. In our case, maybe we build the exact same website for $500 or $5,000, but I'm certain that the person that's getting a website for $5,000 is going to feel like they're getting a more quality site than the person that is, you know, paying $500. I'm curious if you found that to be the same, Katie, for figuring out pricing for the plugin products as well. Do you feel like if you price it too low, people might feel like there's not enough quality of that plugin, where if you price it a little bit higher, it's all just perception? But have you found that to be the case?
Yeah, definitely. There's a certain reputation for very cheap plugins, which has come from things like Envato, where a plugin might cost $29 and it's got tons of features, and that whole kind of pricing model and really cheap lifetime licenses as well. Certain types of people have learned that's a warning sign. It's not just a race to the bottom. So you need to be competitively priced with equally trustworthy products, but you don't need to compete with the ones where their website isn't professional, they're not a known name, and things like that. In fact, that could be why the actual number of sales increased on my EDD VAT plugin after we increased the price, because one of the strongest competitors is a SaaS called Quaderno, which is a sort of fully featured EU VAT thing that you can integrate with your WordPress site. And that is way more expensive than any WordPress plugin because it's monthly SaaS pricing. So maybe by getting a bit closer to that very fully featured solution in price, people saw my plugin as more comparable to that rather than just something you quickly install, but you've still got to do loads of work with your tax.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Well, yeah, pricing is, like you said, it's not horrifying or a bad thing that you're constantly working on it, because you do constantly have to work on it. Now, the last topic, marketing, I'm going to pull a quick one on you here because we are going to go general, and something occurred to me and I thought this might be good to zero in on. And I'm looking more at moving forward rather than what's happened in the past. All the social platforms. Now, I can say, hey, I'm on several of them and I do a lot of different things and I have my own strategy. And we all know that everybody does it their own way. they find their groove, and there's really no right or wrong way that somebody can say, hey, I do it this way and you should. Now, with that said, looking as we move ahead with all the little birdies flying over and turning into butterflies, what is your feeling on with your business, with research, with engagement, however you use it? It's becoming even more fragmented in the sense. Are you going to stay steady as you have been? Are you thinking of other ways of doing things with social? Because unfortunately, we have to be somewhere. You've done something and it worked for us. Thoughts on that? Let's start with Marcus.
Sure. I think there are two parts to the formula. I think part one is you need to be where your audience is. So if you're an agency looking for clients, if you have a specific business niche, maybe there are different forums that you need to be in. Maybe there are Discord or Slack groups or Facebook groups for you to be in. I think it's important for you to be where your audience is. I think in my case, as someone who mostly is communicating with the WordPress community, it's important for me to be where WordPress people are, where people are hanging out, where the conversation is being had about what's going on in WordPress, what the future of WordPress looks like, getting resources for different plugins and tools and all of that kind of thing. But I think part two to the formula is also the mental space and awareness to know how much is too much. Like you said, it's definitely getting fragmented. There are a few different places that people seem to be finding themselves. Always have been many social media platforms, and there just seem to be more than there ever were. Again, zeroing in on where your audience is. In my case, it's mostly research, but if you're trying to get to where you can make some sales or get some leads, it's just about making sure that you're where your audience is. But you have to make sure that you're not overdoing it. Don't spread yourself too thin. You know, if all of your content is watered down, then you're not really having much of an impact anywhere. So I would say pick a couple, two, three places to really hone in on and just focus on those, the ones that make the most sense to you. That's my take on it.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think I've learned to make a distinction between individual marketing activities within the community of WordPress versus company activities, which are aimed to generate sales. And both of those things are worth doing and can have a real business impact, but in different ways. So the question was about social, and I haven't found social to be very relevant from a company perspective, really. The balm to social media accounts exist, but don't get a lot of engagement, and people don't particularly like to interact with brands on social media anyway. That has less credibility somehow. Social media is about individual connections, really. Whereas my own social media, particularly Twitter, I get a lot of business benefit from, but that's not from potential customers. That's from colleagues from elsewhere in the WordPress community, exchanging business advice and ideas and feedback and partnership opportunities and lots of very relevant things like that, but not things that will generate sales. So for marketing of your products, I'd say social is really not a priority at all. I know people keep saying SEO is dead, but that's still how we get the vast majority of our sales. Our second biggest source of sales is YouTube, which is a bit like SEO because it's organic video marketing and also appears in Google search results as well as on YouTube itself. So I'd say that SEO is still really important, and there's other things like ads and so on that are all more relevant for finding potential customers and actually generating sales rather than social.
Yeah, I totally agree. I've been spending, people would probably freak out, 2 months doing a bunch of research on all the different statistics, why people leave, follows, unfollows, all this stuff, because I'm just curious exactly. And I learned a lot in... It's easy to manage several social media platforms if you want to look at posting and scheduling. I mean, there are tools that do that. But essentially, to manage engagement, manage conversations over several, there is no tool out there. It's just not going to happen. You know, I mean, as much as you'd like it to happen, it's not going to happen. And you just have to spend the time and find what works for you. And I've found what works for me. It isn't as much engagement as it is research and sharing and resharing. And that's what I've decided to do. Well, to close this out, is there anything that you're looking forward to, whether it's your business or just in the space around business that you would want to share for 2025?
I posted a tweet, I don't know, it was a couple of weeks ago, I think now, about just kind of how 2022-23 was the years of year 2020 to 2023 was years of e-commerce, 23 to 24 is AI, and just talking about how 2025 will be the year of agency focus. I know I'm obviously biased talking about agencies, but I do think that I'm not alone in seeing some of that agency focus, both on the hosting side and product side, knowing that we can all continue to go after individual customers, or we can leverage the fact that agencies have multiple customers, you know, many hundreds in some cases of customers at our fingertips. I think to kind of maybe revise that a little bit, I see it all kind of building on top of one another. It's just a little bit of a shift in focus, but they're really compiling. E-commerce isn't going anywhere. AI isn't going anywhere. As the shift to agency happens in the next year or so, that brings with it the e-commerce and the AI stuff that's been happening over the last several years. So I'm interested to see over the next 12 to 18 months how all of the things that we've done for e-commerce and all of the things that we've done with AI over the last year and a half, 2 years, 3 years blend into what's happening going into agency stuff, and just seeing where that all lands. I think it's going to be a big year for innovation, especially the AI stuff continuing to get better and better. I think there will be some new and interesting products and services that come out in the next year and a half that will change the way that we think about some of the things that we do and how we build websites. And I don't necessarily know what those are, but I'm excited to see what that looks like.
Yeah. Any thoughts, Katie?
It's an interesting point about a future move to agencies. As a plugin company owner, I would say that I haven't seen a particularly good model yet for product companies such as ourselves to work with agencies, for example, as a preferred partner or something like that. So there are agencies who would prefer our plugins just because and use them multiple times. They might buy an all-access pass or agency licenses or something like that. But in terms of actually working together directly, I haven't seen that model yet. So I would be interested if that is a natural evolution as part of what Marcus is saying. Although it's not really a prediction, maybe hopefully it is, but a hope for WordPress is that the last quarter of 2024 has been surprisingly unstable because of all of the drama and controversy that's been going on. So I sincerely hope to see things stabilize in 2025. People realize that the whole ecosystem is far stronger than just one person and can't be rocked or destroyed by certain events. And so I'd like to see that stability and increase in confidence happen.
Cool. Well, I just want to thank you both for an amazing year and what you brought to the podcast here. And I'm fortunate enough to know that you will be sticking around, and Marcus is actually going to be filling in occasionally on the Woo Agency chat too, because one of our hosts, Robert Jacoby, has this tendency to travel the world and I never know where he's going to be or if he has internet. So he will be there to be able to slip in and get in on some of those discussions. And if you want to connect with Marcus or Katie, do remember, you can go to our About page, just click on their profile picture. They have a profile on there with all their links. So make sure you do that. And yeah, we are looking forward to it in January. This is the first I'll be mentioning it because I haven't mentioned it yet. We'll be celebrating the 7th year of Do the Woo. So I'm hoping to have some fun things come out of that, as well as I'll be releasing. Yes, I do release versions of Do the Boo. I envy products that can have these change logs and everything. So I do my own change log and my own version. So 4.2 will be coming out the same time we are celebrating our anniversary. And that'll be kind of a culmination of what we've been working on last few months and between now and then. So thank you, Katie. Thank you, Marcus. It was great being able to get some of your insights. You're always able to share those in your show, but it was nice to kind of, well, put you on the spot and have you share some stuff. So thank you, and thanks for making this show so great.
Thanks, Bob.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity as well to share.